Good evening.
Let me show you what I mean. You don't mind if I borrow your neck for a moment, do you?
Oh, if it's not for long.
Why, she wouldn't even harm a fly.
Which one of you did it? Which one of you killed my dog?
Why are they doing this? Why are they doing this?
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Good evening, and welcome to Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast. I'm your host today, Brandon Shamitella, and we present for you a special supplemental episode for Easy Virtue. What you're going to hear today is the December 26th, 1999 BBC radio adaptation of Noel Coward's play. It stars Anna Massey as Mrs. Mabel Whittaker, Victoria Hamilton as Marion Whittaker, Michael Elwyn as Colonel Jim Whittaker, and Elizabeth Dermot Walsh as Hilda Whittaker. Basically, it's the same story that you had in the Alfred Hitchcock film, just as a radio version, and it's a little bit more closely related to the play rather than the film. But I thought it would be a fun little supplemental episode to provide to you in our journey of the Alfred Hitchcock movies. The synopsis, which I've taken from Hitchcock Zone, says, into the upper-middle-class comfort of the Whittaker country household comes the worldly Loretta, a trophy wife brought home by the prodigal son, John. The play lives in a nervous and indolent atmosphere, controlled by the disdainful Mrs. Whittaker and tolerated by the laconic Colonel Whittaker. The Whittaker sisters, superficially serious Marion and flighty but destructive teenager Hilda, round out this dysfunctional family whose major interests rest in tennis and lawn parties with Chinese lanterns and fairy lights. Loretta, soon disenchanted with the surface life she has joined, develops an ennui that ultimately drives her back to her life of literature and art. What starts as a comedy of manners turns finally into a critique of British gentry. Only Sarah Hurst and Charles Burley ground the action in Coward's environment of idiosyncratic affection. This was adapted for the radio by Maria Aitken from the play from 1925 by Noel Coward. I really hope you enjoy this. And after you listen, for more great Alfred Hitchcock discussion, please be sure to visit our good friends Annie and Catherine and their podcast, Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock Presents podcast, where they go through all of the episodes one at a time. They've got 3 episodes out now, and I recommend it. It's a lot of fun. I find myself listening and laughing out loud quite often while I'm listening to their podcast. So be sure to check that one out as well, and I hope you enjoy this presentation of Easy Virtue, the BBC radio play adaptation.
Easy Virtue by Noel Coward. Adapted for radio by Mariah Aitken.
I've written a strong letter to Mrs. Phillips.
Oh, what have you said?
Listen, dear Mrs. Phillips, I feel it my duty to write to you with regard to the advisability of sending the unfortunate Rose Jenkins away to London. As you know, she was in my service for a year, and I was quite convinced when I discharged her that a girl of her character could ultimately come to no good. I was therefore extremely surprised when I heard you had engaged her. As you have appealed to me for advice in the matter, I suggest that you should get rid of her at once, as her presence in the village might quite conceivably corrupt the other girls. Recent events conclusively prove that the wretched girl is entirely devoid of any moral responsibility. Sincerely yours, Mabel Whittaker.
I must go and see Rose Jenkins and have a straight-from-the-shoulder chat.
Oh, Marion, why not leave the poor girl alone?
Because, Father, if there's any chance of helping someone to see the truth, I consider it shirking to disregard the opportunity.
What is the truth?
The truth is, Jim, that Rose Jenkins, by her immoral behaviour, has caused unpleasantness in the village and therefore must suffer accordingly.
Mother's right. It's better for her to be sent to London.
I fail to see that the Rose Jenkins business is any affair of yours. She isn't in our service anymore.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't be so tiresome, Jim, dear. I'm sure I've enough worries and responsibilities.
Very well, dear. I'm going down to see Jackson for a minute.
You'd better tell him what we decided about that bed in front of the sundial.
All right, Mabel.
Ooh. Poor old father.
He's so fearfully annoying about things.
Oh, Edgar's exactly the same. Men never will see.
When is Edgar coming back?
Oh, I don't know. I had a long letter from him this morning. It will mean another 4 or 5 months out there, I'm afraid.
Do you think he's really behaving himself as a husband should?
I had a straight talk with him the day before he sailed. I think I made him realise things a bit better.
Who would have imagined he'd turn out like that?
Oh, Edgar's all right. It's his upbringing. We'll always be pals. He's not really a marrying man, you know. I think I realised that all along. And now I've found other things to occupy my mind. Thank God.
It couldn't have been John's upbringing altogether, could it?
Well, John's different. He's exactly like Father.
Yes, I'm afraid he is.
He always was weak, you know.
I've tried to shut my eyes to it.
It's no use doing that, Mother. Everything must be fixed.
I lie awake at nights wondering what's going to happen eventually.
You mustn't worry.
Oh, worry, it's on my mind always. Well, naturally, I've got over the first shock to a large extent.
She may not be so bad after all.
It's the greatest catastrophe that ever happened. Your father's affairs were nothing to this. Nothing.
Have you heard from John lately?
Not since that postcard 2 weeks ago.
He's bound to bring her home soon.
Well, he's taken good care to explain nothing about her in his letters. If he hadn't been so apprehensive of what we should think of her, he would have brought her home at once instead of waiting 3 months.
He did say she was ill.
Ill? I expect she was.
I'm glad I shall be here, anyhow.
So am I. I wouldn't have faced it alone. Jim's no help, never has been, especially over anything of this sort.
Is Sarah coming today?
Yes, she's bringing a man over to lunch. They've got a house full of people.
I suppose she was broken-hearted when she heard.
She was splendid. She wrote me the sweetest letter, saying that John's happiness was the thing that was to be considered before anything else, and that she was sure it would all turn out wonderfully.
That was to comfort you.
Yes.
Mother?
Here, dear, the drawing room.
A telegram, Mother. They gave it to me at the post office.
A telegram?
They were going to send the boy with it, but I said, don't bother, I'm on my way home.
What is it? What's the matter? John?
Yes.
Let me see.
Stop it, Tilda.
Today? This morning? They're arriving this morning.
Oh, how typical of him.
This is terrible.
Sarah? What about Sarah?
What shall we do? Put her off?
It might be a good thing of her to be here, in one way.
Go and find your father, Hilda.
Where is he?
With Jackson, I think. And tell Jackson to send in some flowers at once.
All right, lovely. I'll arrange them. Oh, cheer up, Mother.
I feel so unequal to it all today. I didn't sleep a wink last night and I woke with a racking headache.
Shall I get you some aspirin?
No, it wouldn't do any good. The blow's fallen, you see. The blow's fallen. John. My John. Married. This woman. Oh, it's unthinkable.
I'll have a straight talk to John. If she really is, well, quite hopeless, something must be done.
Nothing can be done. I tell you, I know. She's got him and she'll stick to him.
She's the sort of woman we imagine. She's probably realised her mistake already.
Why should she have married him? Except for what she can get out of him, money and position. He's been made a fool of. Just as your father was made a fool of, hundreds of times. We know she's older than John. I don't suppose there was any love as far as she was concerned. She just twisted him round her little finger.
I've told Father the news.
I suppose they're motoring down from Dover.
Yes.
It's too exciting for words, wondering what she'll be like.
I wish I could share your feelings.
Do you think she'll be dark or fair?
Oh, do be quiet, Hilda.
But guessing at people is such fun. What do you think she'll be like, Marion?
Stop asking absurd questions.
I'm dying to see. I wonder if she drinks.
Hilda!
Well, you never know. Living abroad like that.
Can't you see? Mother's upset and doesn't want to be worried.
I fail to see the object of working yourself up into a state before you've set eyes on her.
You wouldn't see, Jim, because you don't care. You've never cared. So long as you're comfortable, you don't mind if your son goes to the dogs.
He had to marry somebody. She's probably a very interesting woman.
I've no doubt you'll find her so.
She may be frightfully sweet.
When you've reached my age, Hilda, you'll probably realise that the sort of women who infest French watering places are generally far from being frightfully sweet.
Cannes isn't exactly a French watering place. I mean, it's better than that. I mean, everyone goes there.
Everything's changing nowadays, anyhow.
I fail to see that makes the slightest difference.
Father means that social barriers are not quite so strongly marked now, and perhaps...
I know quite well what your father means, Marion.
But everyone's accepted so much more. I mean, nobody minds so much about people.
I mean... You don't know what you mean. You don't know anything about it.
Oh, Mother, don't cry. It'll only make your eyes all red. Oh, Ferber, I'll take the flowers.
Jackson sent these in for you, ma'am, and I've bought a vase and a jug of water.
I'll arrange them.
Ferber, Mr. John is arriving with his wife almost immediately. Will you see that fires are lit in the schoolroom and dressing room?
Yes, ma'am.
Aren't these lovely? I expect she's used to orchids and things, though.
We ought to telephone Sarah.
Oh, yes, it might be a shock for her.
Hello, operator. 6-0, please.
Oh, don't splash water all over the table, Hilda.
Hello, is that you, Sarah? It's Marion. Listen, old girl, prepare yourself for a shock. John's coming home with Loretta, or whatever her name is, this morning. Oh, I thought it would be rather... Well, I'm glad you feel like that. Anyway, we wanted to know if you'd come just the same. Of course, bring him. All right. Goodbye, old thing. That's that.
Did Sarah seem upset?
She laughed.
Laughed?
I think she's pretending, even to herself, that she doesn't mind.
If only everything had been different. It might have been Sarah he was bringing home.
It wouldn't have been half so exciting.
Oh, I wish to heaven it were. She's a damn good sort, that girl.
What's the man's name who's coming over with her?
Charles Burley.
I'm dying for lunch. It's going to be too thrilling for words.
The return of the prodigal is always a momentous occasion, isn't it?
Oh, what a fright you gave me, Jim. I'd forgotten you were here. And don't talk like that. It's not amusing.
I'm sorry. I thought perhaps a little light irony might alleviate the prevailing gloom.
If you think constant reminders of your callousness about the whole affair...
I'm not callous, Mabel. I'm just waiting with a more or less open mind.
Open mind?
Don't these flowers look sweet, everybody?
Take the tray back to the kitchen.
All right. They'll be here any minute.
I'll take the flowers up to the schoolroom.
I'm glad your mother's getting cross. I prefer irritability to hysteria.
I don't think you're being very decent to Mother, you know.
Are you ever going to abandon your schoolgirl phraseology, Marion?
You're always saying unkind things lately, Father. You must be very unhappy.
Perhaps that accounts for it.
Then you are?
Do you want to have a straight talk to me, Marion?
I suppose you despise me for trying to help other people.
You and your mother are always trying to help lame dogs over stiles, even if they're not lame and don't want to go.
I don't mind your taunts a bit.
Good.
But Mother does.
My dear girl, your mother stood by me through my various lapses from grace with splendid fortitude.
You realise that?
I realise the fact, but distrust the motive.
What motive could she possibly have other than love and affection?
I don't believe you know.
No, I certainly don't.
Well, I won't disillusion you.
She needs your help and support now, badly.
Why?
You can seriously stand there and ask why.
She's built up in her mind a black-hearted monster of a woman who has enslaved her baby John, and she expects me to combine in a superhuman effort to oust her.
Oh, nothing of the sort, Father.
As I said before, I'm waiting with an open mind. And whatever John's wife is or has been, I shall do my utmost to make her happy and comfortable here.
The car! I saw it from the kitchen window.
Oh, now for it.
Jim?
Yes, dear.
Nothing. It doesn't matter.
I wonder what she'll be like. I wonder.
We shall soon see. Mother.
But John, where...
No, she's still in the car, powdering her nose. She said she wanted me to get the first joys of reunion over. Father.
I'm glad you're back, John.
I do so hope you'll like her. And you too, a new sister for you.
Welcome home, old thing.
I know I shall like her.
I feel terrified. It'll be so wonderful if you do like her, and so awful if you don't.
It's a little late to think of that now.
Mother! May I introduce my wife?
How do you do?
How do you do seems so hopelessly inadequate, doesn't it, at a moment like this?
But perhaps it's good to use it as a refuge for our real feelings.
Did you have a nice crossing from France?
Perfectly horrible.
Oh, I'm so sorry. This is my eldest daughter, Marion, and Hilda. No doubt you've heard John speak of them.
But of course I have, hundreds of times. Oh, Hilda, you're just like Johnny, you know.
We never call him Johnny.
I do.
And this is my husband.
How do you do, Colonel Whittaker? You look dazed. I suppose I'm very unlike what you expected, or perhaps not.
I'm delighted to welcome you home.
Oh, thank you.
You're not a bit like what I expected.
I'm very much older, probably. I'm awfully sorry about that, Mrs. Whittaker.
Don't be silly, darling. And not Mrs. Whittaker. It's Mother now.
Not quite yet, Johnny, I don't think.
You must be tired after your journey. Perhaps you'd like to go upstairs.
I've turned the old schoolroom into a boudoir for you.
How divine. It'll be full of memories of Johnny as a grubby little boy.
I'm sure you'd rather smoke one cigarette and get to know us all a little better first. Here.
You're right. I should. Do you mind if I smoke one of my own? I have a special kind. Try one.
Thanks.
Mrs. Whittaker?
No, thank you.
Allow me. Do sit down.
Thanks so much.
Have you ever been in England before?
Oh, yes. Several times. I used to come here a lot with my first husband.
Your first husband?
Yes.
I never realised you'd been married before. John told us so little.
That was awfully tiresome of you, Johnny.
He was a perfect brute to her, Mother.
How dreadful. It must have been almost a relief when he died.
He didn't die. He divorced me.
Divorced you?
Yes. I ran away. I was very young and silly. I should have waited, shouldn't I, and borne it stoically. It would have been braver.
I don't see that at all. He was an absolute devil.
I suppose you went back to your parents.
No, I couldn't go as far as that. They were both dead.
It's awfully nice of you to tell us this.
Johnny ought to have explained it all, really. It would have cleared the way.
You can't write things like that in letters.
No, I suppose not.
You must have been very anxious and surprised and worried, Mrs. Whittaker. We should have come home at once, only I stupidly got ill. Pleurisy, you know. I've had it before. Perfectly infuriating.
Beastly thing, pleurisy.
But Johnny was absolutely wonderful to me, and here we are at last. Can your butler speak French?
I beg your pardon?
I said, can your butler speak French? You see, my maid only... Oh, do go and rescue Louise, Johnny. She's probably having a bad time.
All right. Take Loretta up, Mother.
Oh, no, let me. Do let me.
I should love you to, Hilda.
I hope you find everything quite comfortable.
I'm sure I shall. Come along, Hilda.
I like her.
Do you, Marion?
Don't you?
She's exactly what I expected, in every detail.
Surely not in every detail. She wasn't drunk.
Jim, please.
Larita's an extraordinarily pretty name.
Excellent for musical comedy.
Oh, she's gone up. Well, the maid's calmed down anyhow. Well?
I congratulate you, John.
Oh, Father, thank you. I am glad. Mother?
Well, John, I hope you'll be very happy.
I am, Mother. Frightfully.
She's very beautiful.
Do you think so, honestly?
Yes, of course.
You've no idea what a darling she is. All the time she was ill, she was splendid, so brave and everything.
Sarah's coming over to lunch.
Is she? Ripping. Yes, been longing to see her again. I want her to meet Loretta too.
Sarah's been very much in demand. Her parents gave a most successful dance in London for her.
Good old Sarah.
If you've got any aspirin in your room, Marion, dear, I should like some. My headache's rather bad.
All right. Will you come up or shall I get it?
No, I'll come up. I hope you'll see that your Loretta has everything she wants, John.
I suppose Mother's upset, isn't she?
A little, I think.
She'll get over it, though, won't she?
I expect so. Don't worry.
You like Larry, though, don't you, Father?
She seems charming.
Oh, she is. She is. And she's more than that. She's wonderful.
She's older than I thought.
Yes, yes. But that doesn't really matter, does it? I mean, you know, if people really care for one another.
I don't know. It might, later on.
You mean, children?
Not just that.
I don't suppose we'll have any children.
No. Don't suppose you will.
Perhaps Marion will. If Edgar ever comes home.
It's not quite the same.
Are you cut up about it?
What's the use of being cut up, John? When a thing's done, you've got to stand by it.
Father, I do love her terribly. She's my life's happiness.
That's all right, then. Run up and look after. She's probably feeling a little shattered. I'm going to stroll around the garden till lunch.
All right. Thanks, Father.
Everybody, Ferber.
I don't know, miss. Mr. and Mrs. John have just arrived. They're probably all upstairs. I'll tell them you're here.
No, don't do that. We'll wait.
Oh, very good, miss.
How's your neuritis, Ferber?
Oh, it's been rather bad, miss.
Oh, I meant to bring you over that stuff, but I forgot. I'll send it tonight.
Thank you very much, Miss Sarah.
I suppose this is a slightly momentous day in the lives of the Whittakers.
Very momentous.
Is your heart wrung with emotion?
Oh, don't be a beast, Charles.
I think it's brave of you to come.
I want to see her. And I wasn't really officially engaged to John. It was just a sort of understood thing.
I see.
And I've had a nice 3 months to get over being upset about it.
And you have?
Entirely. And I'm extremely hungry.
That's a healthy sign.
Whatever she's like, you must be awfully nice and pay a lot of attention to her.
Certainly.
I think I'm going to get the giggles.
For heaven's sake, don't.
You'll realise just how funny it is when you see Mrs. Whittaker.
I shall try to control myself.
And Marion. Oh, dear Marion.
Sarah, you're unnerving.
I can't help it.
Put yourself together. Someone's coming.
Sarah!
Hello, Hilda.
Oh, Sarah. She's too beautiful for words.
No, really.
And the most heavenly clothes.
This is Charles Burley, Hilda Whittaker.
How do you do? We're all fearfully excited, you know. John's new wife just arrived.
Yes, Sarah told me.
She's got a scream of a French maid. I nearly died.
How's Mrs. Whittaker?
She's got a headache. John's talking to her in her room. I've got to dash and fetch Father in for lunch. Come with me, Sarah.
Oh, I can't leave poor Charles all alone.
It's only for a minute. I've got such lots to tell you.
Do you mind, Charles?
Very much.
She won't be long, honestly. I haven't seen Sarah for ages, and I shan't get another opportunity of talking to her.
Charles is such a timid man. It'll do him good if he has to fend for himself socially.
Sarah.
Come on.
Yeah, I say, Sarah.
I shan't be very long. How do you do?
How do you do?
Are you lunching here?
Yes, I came over with Sarah Hurst. I'm staying with them a few miles away.
I've heard Johnny speak of them.
You've only just arrived, haven't you?
Yes, this morning. We came over from Paris.
It's always rather an anticlimax, isn't it, arriving anywhere?
Why? Do I look bored?
No, not at all.
I know what you mean, though. One feels sort of dead.
It's only temporary.
Oh, yes. I hope so.
Do you know if anyone else is lunching?
Only you and Miss Hurst, I believe, outside of the family.
Good.
Why do you say good so emphatically?
Well, it must be bad enough for you to have to meet a bunch of brand new relations, let alone total strangers. I feel quite an interloper.
Please don't. I don't mind meeting new people a bit. On the contrary, it's rather a comfort in a way. It eases things a little.
Will you smoke?
I'll smoke one of my own, if you don't mind. I get a bad throat if I change. I smoke far too much.
That's an enchanting case. Cartier?
Yes, I've had it for years.
Were you in Paris long?
Only a week. I had to get some new clothes and fortify myself.
Naturally.
Where is everybody?
I don't know.
Discussing their first impressions of me, I expect. It must be horrid for them.
I don't see why.
You do. Perfectly well. Do you know Johnny?
No.
He's an angel.
I don't know any of them. I'm more of a stranger than you.
I'm so glad. It gives us a sort of bond in common, doesn't it?
Yes.
Tell me about Sarah Hurst. Don't look so apprehensive. I know about her and Johnny when they were young and everything.
She's a charming girl, unaffected.
Thank God for that.
Not very emotional and quite a sense of humour.
I'm looking forward to seeing her.
Are you?
No.
I quite understand.
I know you do. Is she pretty?
Not exactly. More attractive than pretty.
Dark or fair?
Fairish. She's rather like a young edition of a very old friend of mine. She lives in Paris. I wonder if you've met her.
Who?
Cécile de Vriac.
Cecile? Do you know Cecile?
I've known her for years.
Oh, how extraordinary. What's your name?
Charles Burley.
Of course. She's shown me snapshots of you. I knew I recognised your face somehow. Oh, she is fun, isn't she?
I'm devoted to her.
And Freddy.
Oh, Freddy. Freddy.
That's all over now.
No, is it?
Yes. Last August in Venice, or rather the Lido, to be accurate.
Well, I don't wonder. That beach would kill any passion. Where did you meet John?
At Cannes. He'd been gambling recklessly and losing everything. I was well up on the day, so I lent him some chips, and it changed his luck.
In more ways than one.
I wonder.
I'm sure of it.
It's sweet of you to say so. I'm dreadfully fond of him, you know.
I can see that.
Can you? How?
By the way you talk of him.
He's awfully young and, well, almost ingenuous sometimes. I think that must have been what attracted me to him at first. It was refreshing. I was so tired of everybody.
People do run dreadfully in grooves, don't they?
Always the same faces and the same expressions and the same motives.
Motives?
You know what I mean.
Yes.
It's amusing and fun for a little while. And then one begins to realise that perhaps, after all, it's a trifle cheap.
It's certainly astonishing how quickly one becomes disillusioned over everything.
Everything?
Well, practically everything.
Yes. That's true.
Are you going to live here indefinitely?
I don't know. Through the summer, anyhow.
I hope you'll be very happy.
Thank you.
I was looking at the Tatler when you came down. Did you see this ridiculous picture of Suzanne...
Oh, Suzanne Fellini.
Fellini.
Doesn't she look fierce? It's so absurd when people are photographed with their legs sticking out in front of them like that.
And look at that hat.
Oh. Something's very funny, obviously.
Tell us the joke, darling. And who are you talking to?
This is Charles Burley.
How do you do?
How do you do? Your youngest daughter came and spirited Sarah away.
I couldn't think where you were, Loretta.
I thought everyone was down here.
So you and Mr. Burley managed to introduce yourselves?
Oh, yes. We've discovered lots of mutual friends.
How nice. Mr. Burley, this is my eldest daughter, Marion, and my son, John.
How do you do?
We found Father lurking by the greenhouse.
I haven't held anything up, have I?
Hello, John. I'm terribly pleased to see you.
Sarah, I'd like you to meet my wife, Loretta. I do hope you'll be friends.
I hope so, too. Of course we shall. You're utterly different from what I imagined.
Am I?
Yes. I pictured you fair and fluffy.
How absurd. Shall we all go in to lunch? Reading. Must be a fascinating book.
Proust.
What?
Marcel Proust.
Ah. Why don't you go and watch the tennis, Larita?
The excitement's so intense, my nerves won't stand it.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't throw cigarette ends onto the veranda. It looks so untidy. And there are so many.
I'm sorry.
Fancy lying indoors on a lovely day like this.
It's very chilly outside.
Not in the sun.
I get a headache if I sit in the sun.
I wonder you don't play tennis with the others.
I'm so awfully bad that it annoys everybody.
You'd soon improve if you practiced.
I don't know that the end would altogether justify the means.
Marion's had a letter from Edgar this morning.
Did she?
He's coming home.
Oh, how lovely.
You've never met him?
No. I meant it was lovely for Marion that he was coming home. Not for me.
Where's Jim?
He went out, I think.
Oh, how irritating. I wanted to talk to him particularly.
Perhaps he didn't know.
And I'm worried to death about tonight.
I'm so sorry. Why?
If it's wet, we can't have the buffet on the veranda.
Perhaps it'll be fine.
Only half the things I ordered have arrived from Fortnum.
Can I do anything?
No, thank you, Larita. I'm quite used to all responsibilities of this sort falling onto my shoulders. The children are always utterly inconsiderate. Thank heaven I have a talent for organisation. What's
happened?
On the line. Well, look if you worry about it. You'll play the point again. Hello, old thing. Why aren't you watching the tennis?
I'm afraid of discouraging them.
I think Mother's getting a bit fussed about tonight.
She has a talent for organisation.
Things are certain to turn out all right if you don't worry about them.
That must be a very comforting philosophy.
You seem a bit snappy, old girl. Has anything upset you?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be snappy. What shall we talk about?
Oh, I'm afraid I've got no time to talk now. Too many things to see to. You know, only half the stuff's arrived from Fortnum's.
Why not telephone, then?
I have.
Are they sending the rest out?
Yes.
Well, then, that's all right, isn't it?
Have you seen Father?
He went out, I think.
Typical of him to shelve everything onto Mother and me.
Perhaps he'll come back soon, bristling with ideas.
I think Mother's wrong about having the buffet on the veranda. It's sure to rain.
Hello. Why don't you come and watch the tennis?
Because, John, there seems to be a conspiracy among everybody to lead me onto that very exposed tennis court.
Well, you needn't come if you don't want to.
Where are you going?
To get Sarah's sweater. She left it upstairs.
You might bring down my fur coat.
Fur coat? What on earth for?
I'm cold.
Well, don't wonder. You're lying about indoors all day.
Don't be intolerant, darling. Oh, God. God.
Here you are.
Thank you, Johnny. Help me put it on.
You wouldn't be cold if you took some exercise.
Come for a walk with me.
How can I? We're in the middle of a set.
Johnny.
What is it?
Nothing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Oh, what's the matter? Plunged in gloom?
It's only a mood.
Cheer up.
You won't ask me why I'm not watching the tennis, will you?
No, my dear. Nor will I inquire why you're wearing a fur coat. The reasons are obvious. You are bored and cold. Shall I shut the French windows?
Oh, please.
Shall we play cards?
No, thank you.
Not bezique. Such a thrilling game.
I don't remember how.
Neither do I. That will give it an added piquancy. We do have a bezique set. Aha! Oh,
you really are absurd.
Stay where you are and I'll bring up this dear little table.
It is sweet, isn't it?
I forget how to deal. It's either 9 or 13.
I believe it's 11.
Turn them up.
Card.
9.
8.
There now. You deal.
Ooh, I feel my nostrils quivering like a warhorse.
Card, please.
Useless.
Are you preparing to have a run?
Certainly.
8.
I'm so sorry. 9.
Devil.
Fate for sure.
Oh, cut.
9.
Lucky in cards, unlucky.
Oh, no, don't say that to me. It's malicious treason.
Cut.
Now then.
Damn!
9.
There's something underhand about this.
I shall have you turned out of the casino if you accuse me of cheating.
One more go, please.
There.
8.
My poor friend, 9.
Disgusting! I refuse to play.
Oh, temper. Come on, let's pick them up.
I should like to get a shoe and a couple of seedy croupiers and start a gambling hell in this village.
It'd be grand.
What on earth are you two doing on the floor?
Gambling.
I'm afraid the Colonel forgot he was an English gentleman and lost his temper.
Have you been down to the village, Jim?
Yes.
Well, all I can say is you might have told me you were going. You could have seen Harry about fixing the Japanese lantern.
I did see Harry.
What did he say?
He's coming up at 5:30.
Well, I think you might have let me know.
Oh, it is such fun giving a dance.
You must control your excitement.
There. That's all the cards, I think.
No. There's an angry queen of hearts secreting herself under the sofa. I feel better now. Thank you.
Splendid.
Who's coming tonight?
The county. You'll see dresses that will make your mouth water.
I must be careful. It'll be my social debut.
What will you wear?
Something non-committal and austere.
Not black?
No. That would clash with the dowagers.
Right.
To un genou.
There's always lavender.
Oh, yes. That's much more appropriate.
Your friend Charles Burley is coming.
Yes, I know. I'm awfully glad. He's a nice man.
I tremble for you sometimes.
Why?
This life must be so deadly for you.
Now and then, perhaps.
I try my best with cards and small talk to make things brighter for you.
I know you do. You've been a darling all along.
Do you think you'd be happier if you and John settled down in London?
I don't know. I feel frightened of making any definite plans. Everything depends on John.
I'll talk to him.
No, please don't. Let him decide on his own whatever he wants to do.
He must see you're being bored stiff.
I wouldn't mind how bored or out of place I was if only...
If only what?
If only John were with me a little more. He's getting a bit sick of me, I'm afraid.
What nonsense.
Oh, I ought to be so much more adaptable. But it's difficult. I've tried terribly hard during the 3 months I've been here, but I've only succeeded in making everyone more or less used to me. I've established a sort of truce. That's all.
That in itself is an achievement. We're an insular, hidebound set.
Nobody really likes me, except you.
Sarah does.
Yes, I'd forgotten Sarah. It's queer of her, isn't it?
She places a high value on intelligence when no one else recognises it.
Marion is persistently pleasant because she feels she owes it to her religious views.
Marion, though I says it or shouldn't, is a fool.
I've got an unworthy passion for popularity. It hurts my vanity not to be an unqualified success.
Rubbish. Nothing to do with your vanity.
Please. I want it to be my vanity that's hurt and nothing else.
You mustn't expect results too soon, you know. 3 months is a very short time.
Oh, what's the use of going on about it? You know and I know. It's all a rotten failure.
I think if we had the lanterns just along the veranda and across to the cedar, it would be all right, don't you?
Quite. There aren't enough to go further, anyhow.
Hello. What's this book? Sodom and Gomorrah? Why does Loretta read such silly muck?
Don't be sweeping, Marion. Marcel Proust happens to be one of the few really brilliant novelists in the world.
Pity he chooses such piffling subjects, then.
Have you ever read him?
No. But all French writers are the same. Sex, sex, sex. People think too much of all that sort of tosh nowadays, anyhow. After all, there are other things in life.
You mean higher things, don't you, Marion? Much higher.
I certainly do. And I'm not afraid to admit it.
You mustn't be truculent just because you've affiliated yourself with the Almighty.
Oh. Ah, there you are, Marion.
Father's intolerable. He never loses an opportunity of jeering at me.
An exceedingly selfish man. He knows perfectly well how rushed and worried I am, and he never attempts to help. I found him in here, on the floor, with Laurita.
On the floor?
Yes, they've been playing cards and dropped them or something.
I wish Laurita wouldn't slack about indoors all day.
It isn't healthy.
Whose is this book?
Hers, of course.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Please take it up to her room. I don't like that kind of literature lying around when there are young people about.
You think she'd make some effort to adapt herself to our ways, wouldn't you, instead of...
Please don't let's discuss her, Marion. You know it upsets me. And heaven knows I've got enough on my mind today.
I should like to give her a little advice about things.
Do, dear, but wait until after tonight. We don't want a scene.
Oh, I don't think she'd cut up rough if I was tactful. You see... She doesn't quite understand.
How can you expect her to?
And Father's always encouraging her, saying ridiculous things and making her laugh.
Your father has a certain horrible streak in him that nothing will eradicate. No one's more aware of that than I. It's caused me years of suffering.
I know, Mother.
Birds of a feather.
Philip and I won the set. Is there any lemonade or anything?
Ferber's very busy, Hilda. You better go into the pantry and get some yourself.
Where's Loretta?
I don't know.
She was making sheep's eyes at Philip all through lunch.
You mustn't say things like that, Hilda.
Oh, she was. I nearly died of shame.
You'd better go and fetch the lemonade.
You'd think she'd know how to behave at her age.
That will do, Hilda.
I'm fed up with her. Look how she went on with Harry Emsworth the first time I brought him round. And now Philip, she'd better be careful, I can tell you.
But, Mother, I think Loretta's all right, really, don't you?
My dear Marion, I flatter myself I'm a woman of the world. We have no proof of the sort of life Loretta has led, and we don't want any proof. She's John's wife, and as long as he cares for her, nothing can be done.
What do you mean by nothing can be done?
This was never anything but a mad infatuation. And mad infatuations don't last.
But, Mother, he's married to her.
There is such a thing as divorce.
I don't approve of divorce, and I never have.
Neither do I, but in a case like this, it's rather different.
I think she's fond of him, you know.
Time will show.
Ferber had the drinks already.
Take them onto the veranda, Hilda.
Philip! John! Sarah, drinks up!
Come upstairs, Marion, and help me with the dinner list. We shall have to put Lady Gibbons next to your father.
He hates her.
It can't be helped.
Bring me some lemonade in here, John. It's so nice and cool. And Hilda wants to flirt with Philip out there.
I wish you were dining here too, Sarah.
I've got to be at home to help Mother with our dinner party. We'll all be along later.
You keep a lot of dances for me tonight, won't you?
Of course. Oh, where's Loretta, I wonder?
Reading somewhere, I expect.
Oh, she looked divine at lunch.
It's funny you liking her. I was afraid you wouldn't.
Why?
I don't know. She's so utterly different.
I expect that's the reason.
I wish you wouldn't slack indoors so much.
You mustn't be grumpy just because people don't like doing exactly the same things as you.
I'm not grumpy.
Yes, you are. A little.
You're such a sport, always ready for anything.
But I haven't got Loretta's beauty or charm or intelligence.
She's clever, isn't she?
Yes. And being clever, she's a little bored. I think you ought to give a bit more.
How do you mean?
Do what she wants now and then, instead of only what you want.
Yeah, but I do. I took her for miles in the car yesterday. She said she needed air.
That's right.
Well, see
don't make excuses. You know what I mean.
I say, you have changed lately. You never used to go on like this.
Like what?
All serious and preachy.
I'm sorry you think I'm preachy. You see, I'm growing up and you're not.
Oh, yes, I am.
Well, not in the way you should, then.
You've got ever so much nicer looking.
Thank you.
You going to marry too?
Certainly.
Who? What? Charles Burley?
Oh, good heavens, no. He's much too old. No, oh. Oh, I'm awfully sorry. I didn't mean that exactly. If I loved him, I wouldn't care how old he was.
Is there anybody you are in love with?
Not at the moment, but I'm keeping my eyes open.
I've often meant to ask you something, but I haven't the courage.
Well, don't.
I must. Did you think I behaved like a cad marrying Loretta like that without letting you know?
Of course not.
Are you sure?
You took your opportunity and married for love, John. And I respect you for it. If we'd married, it would have been for friendship and convenience.
Would it?
Yes. We knew each other far too well.
Do you think that's a disadvantage?
In married life, certainly.
I don't.
Oh, it would have been so dull and ordinary. No excitement at all.
I don't want excitement.
Oh, I do. I want thrills and glamour and passionate love letters. All the trappings.
I could have written you love letters.
Oh, the fact that you didn't proves that you couldn't. You didn't feel that way about me, ever.
I did love you all the same.
Oh, how touching.
I do still.
Shut up, John.
You see, I'm beginning to realise I've made rather a mess of things.
Oh, shut up, I tell you, or I'll never speak to you again. That's behaving like a cad, if you like, an utter cad.
Sarah.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Haven't you got any sense of decency? Let me tell you one thing. You're not fit to wipe Loretta's boots.
Hello. What are you two squabbling about?
Oh, John's infuriating. He always gets bad-tempered when he loses a set.
I ought to have watched after all to keep him in order.
I stole a cigarette out of your rich and rare case, Larry.
That was revolting of you. I don't think I'll ever forgive you. Hello, Hilda. Hello, Philip. Tennis all over?
I'd like another set. Don't you want to play some more, John?
Yes, rather.
I should stay and talk to Loretta if I were you, John. You've neglected her shamefully.
I'll stay with Loretta.
That's very kind of you, Philip.
I want Philip to play.
I'll come and glare at you all, with eyes staring out of my head like prawns.
No, don't. There's nothing so hideously dull as watching people play games you're not particularly interested in. Come on, Hilda. You and I will play Philip. He can beat us easily.
All right.
Come along. Thanks, Sarah, darling.
Come on, Philip.
Oh, right. See you later, Loretta. Why are you wearing your fur coat? You can't still be cold.
No, not really. I'll take it off if it annoys you.
No, I don't mind.
What shall we do? Go for a nice drive in the motor?
Would you like to?
No, dear. Don't look so scared. I should hate it.
Sorry if you think I've been neglecting you lately, Larry.
Sarah put that into your head. I didn't.
Have I?
No. I think I've been neglecting you.
I'm afraid I've been thoughtless and beastly.
Dear Johnny.
I say, I've got some strong scent on.
It's very good, though, isn't it?
Lovely.
Why are you looking so depressed?
I'm not depressed.
I hope you haven't been overtiring yourself at tennis.
Of course I haven't.
Kiss me, Johnny.
All right.
I think I'd better put my fur coat on again.
What's the matter with you today, Larry?
Don't you know?
No.
We're married.
What do you mean?
That's what's the matter with both of us.
There's nothing the matter with me.
Isn't there?
I feel a bit tired, that's all.
Yes. I believe you do.
I think you were right. I have been rather strenuous today.
Poor darling.
We've got this awful dance tonight.
Aren't you looking forward to it?
Not particularly.
Let's run away secretly to Deauville.
How can we?
It's all right. I didn't mean it. That was a joke.
Oh, I see.
You mustn't be dull.
Well, do stop twitting me.
No, twitting? What a ridiculous expression.
You're always in some mood or another. Anyone would think I'd been deliberately planning to annoy you.
Well, deliberately or not, you've succeeded.
Well, I don't see what I've done.
You play tennis eternally. Tennis, tennis, tennis. Such a pretty game.
It's healthy you've been sitting indoors, anyway.
I believe it develops the muscles to an alarming extent.
Well, you don't want me to be flabby, do you?
Mentally or physically?
Larry, look here.
I'm getting flabby mentally, and I can't bear
it. Well, it's not my fault.
Yes, it is.
How?
Come away. Come abroad again.
We can't. You know we can't, possibly.
Why?
It's unfair of you to ask.
Yes, it is, I suppose.
After all, this is my life, and it always will be.
Will it?
Of course.
And mine?
Naturally.
How secure that sounds.
Are you dissatisfied?
Yes.
You're not happy here at all?
No.
Why?
Because you've stopped loving me.
Larry.
It's true.
You're wrong. I haven't stopped loving you.
Liar.
Look here, you are hysterical and upset because I have been neglecting you.
No, dear, it isn't that.
I've never heard anything so ridiculous in my life.
Neither have I.
We've only been married for 6 months.
It might be 6 years.
Well, it looks more as though you have stopped loving me.
Oh, John, don't be silly.
Not silly. You are always irritable and snappy these days, and you never used to be.
I'm sorry.
If you were a little bit more interested in everything here and didn't retire into your shell so much, you'd be far happier.
Does your mother want me to be interested?
Of course she does.
Then why does she snub me and discourage me whenever I make the slightest effort?
She doesn't mean to. You're just too sensitive.
Oh, sensitive?
Yes, you think everybody's against you.
So they are, except your father and Sarah.
Marion's been sweet to you, and Hilda?
Hilda evinced a high school passion for me when I first arrived, which has since reacted into black hatred.
Rot.
It isn't rot. Marion is gratuitously patronising.
She's nothing of the sort.
Her religious views forbid her to hate me openly.
It was beastly of you to say things like that.
I'm losing my temper at last. Isn't it a
good
sign?
I'm glad you think so.
I've repressed it for so long, and repression's bad. Look at Marion.
I don't know what you mean.
No. You wouldn't.
Yes, but I suppose it's something quite unpleasant.
Quite right, it is.
Look here, Larry.
No, don't try and stop me. Let me go on and on and on, or I shall burst.
Don't talk so loudly.
Why not? No one would be in the least surprised to find me rolling about on the floor, soaked in drugs and hiccuping. They'd almost expect it of me. Surely a little shouting won't matter. It'll gratify their conception of my character.
I've never seen you like this before.
No, it doesn't happen often.
Well, thank God for that.
Splendid. Repartee helps. I like you to play up. This is our first row, you know.
I hope it will be our last.
It may be. Quite possibly.
If these things have been upsetting you for so long, why on earth didn't you just tell me before?
I was hoping against hope that you'd see for yourself.
Oh, what is the use of arguing and bickering like this? It doesn't lead anywhere.
You never know. It might lead to the end of everything.
You wanted to.
Do you?
No. No, I don't. All I want is peace and quiet.
You're far too young to make a remark like that seriously.
I can't help my age.
You said just now that you loved me still.
Well, I certainly don't when you go on like this.
I wanted to see how much it would stand.
Wasn't that rather silly?
No. No, it wasn't silly. 3 months ago, you'd never have spoken to me as you have today, whatever I'd done. I've been watching your passion for me die. I didn't mind that so much. It was inevitable. Then I waited very anxiously to see if there was any real love and affection behind it. And I've seen the little there was slowly crushed out of you by the uplifting atmosphere of your home and family. Whatever I do now doesn't matter anymore. It's too late.
Look here, Larry.
I've shown myself to you quarrelsome and cheap and ugly for the first time. And it hasn't hurt you. It's only irritated you. You're miles away from me already.
You're utterly unreasonable. You imagine things.
Do I?
I realise that I am to blame for leaving you alone so much, and honestly, honestly, I am sorry.
Do you really believe that accounts for it all?
Yes.
Well, let's pretend it's true for a little longer.
There's no need to pretend.
Give me my handkerchief, will you? It's in my bag.
Here you are.
Thanks. I hope I'm not going to have a cold.
I shall see to it that you don't get miserable and upset any more.
Will you, Johnny?
Yes. And I'll talk to Mother.
No, don't do that.
I will. I don't think she's been quite fair.
Please, don't say a word. Promise me you won't. It wouldn't do the slightest good. She's your mother, and I do see her point, you know.
As a matter of fact, I should rather like to go abroad again in September. Yes. Venice or somewhere.
It would be lovely.
Why are you laughing?
Because I feel happier.
Or Algiers. I've never been to Algiers.
If we went to Algiers, we could stay with the Lessings.
Yeah. I don't know them.
They're darlings. She's an American. She used to design people's houses. We had great fun in New York.
I never knew you'd been to New York.
I must have told you. I was there for ages.
You didn't? Was it before you were married?
No. After.
What did you do there?
Oh, really, Johnny? Nothing particular.
You never told me much, you know. About anything.
I'll write it in my memoirs one day, and then all will be disclosed.
Is Francis alive now?
Oh, yes. He's kicking about somewhere.
You never hear from him?
Of course not. I don't consider it chic to receive chatty letters from ex-husbands.
I only wondered.
Well, you needn't have.
Mother's always trying to pump me about your early life.
And what do you say?
Ooh, nothing. I feel rather a fool.
Never mind, dear.
It's natural that she should be curious, I suppose.
Oh, quite.
And that I should be too.
I never realised you were.
You are my wife, after all.
Yes. Isn't it lovely?
Do you regret anything?
Hundreds of things.
No, seriously.
The home atmosphere is certainly having its effect on you.
How do you mean?
You never cross-questioned me before.
I'm not cross-questioning you.
Yes, you are. A little.
Sorry. I won't anymore.
It betrays a certain lack of trust.
Larry, how can you?
You see, when we married because we loved one another. No explanations were necessary on either side.
They're not necessary now, only...
Only you're feeling a little uncomfortable. Is that it?
No, no, not exactly.
It's all a question of values.
Values?
Yes. The scales are awfully erratic. When we met and fell in love, nothing else mattered as long as we were together. But when the first fine, careless rapture wears off, other things begin to obtrude themselves. One has to readjust to see oneself clearly. What happened to either of us in the past didn't count a bit at first. Why should it? Everything was new and exciting. Now it's not new and exciting anymore. we've grown used to one another. So to alleviate the monotony, we start prying about behind the scenes, trying to find out things about each other that haven't any real bearing on the case at all. It's inevitable with such a hideously intimate relationship as marriage.
I don't want to find out anything.
You may not want to, but you'll persevere until you do. It's human nature.
I'd hope there was nothing to find.
There's always something, somewhere.
Don't let's say any more about it.
Very well.
I trust you absolutely.
Whatever happens in the future, dear, I want you to remember one thing. I've never deceived you, and I've never lied to you. There are many things that I've purposely left unexplained, because they don't concern you in the least and don't apply in any sense to our life together.
Darling.
You rubbed all the powder off my nose.
I don't care a bit.
Go and play some more tennis. You've been in the house far too long. It isn't healthy.
Don't be a beast.
Away with you. I'm going to rest before tea.
I'll come and rest too.
No, you won't. We should go on talking and talking and talking until our heads fell off.
All right.
Hello, old girl.
Hello.
Are you going upstairs?
I was. I thought of lying down a little.
Oh, you're always lying down.
Yes, isn't it strange? I expect there's something organically wrong with me.
Oh, but there isn't.
Well,
I'll see you later on. Don't go. I've been wanting to talk to you.
To me? Why? What about? Anything important?
No, just everything.
That ought to take several years.
No, I didn't mean it literally.
Oh, I see. How are the preparations going for tonight?
All right. You're sitting next to Mr. Furley.
Splendid. Is he nice?
Oh, he's a damn good sort.
How many are dining altogether?
Only 12. You won't be offended if I ask you something. Just between ourselves.
That depends, Marion. What is it?
Speaking as a pal, you know.
Well?
Don't encourage Father too much.
In what way encourage him? I don't understand.
Well, you know, it annoys Mother so much when he tries to be funny.
I've never noticed him trying to be funny. He's a very intelligent man.
Sometimes when you're discussing certain subjects, he says things which are not quite...
You say certain subjects in a rather sinister way, Marion. What subjects do you mean particularly?
Well, sex and things like that. You were talking about the Erickson divorce case the other day at lunch when Harry Emsworth was here.
It's an extraordinarily interesting case.
Yes, but one doesn't discuss things like that openly in front of strangers. I mean to say, it doesn't matter a bit when we're by ourselves. No one could be more broad-minded than I am. After all, what's the use of being in the world at all if you shut your eyes to things?
Exactly.
You're not angry, are you?
Angry? No. But why didn't you attack the Colonel on these little breaches of etiquette? He seems to be much more to blame than I.
A woman always understands better than a man.
You weren't by any chance afraid that he'd laugh at you?
Good heavens, no. I don't mind being laughed at.
How extraordinary. I hate it.
What does it matter? If you've got something to say, say it.
According to your code, the fact of having spoken like that about your father doesn't strike you as being disloyal in any way, does it?
Not between pals like us. Oh,
of course, yes. Pals. I keep forgetting.
I believe you are angry.
I'm not. But I'm very, very interested.
Now, look here, Larry. It's like this. Father's been a bit of a dog in his day. Mother's had a pretty bad time with him, and she's stood by him through thick and thin.
How splendid.
Some men are like that. No moral responsibility. My husband, Edgar, you know, was just the same.
You say he was. Has he reformed?
Oh, it's been a tough struggle. But I've made him see that nothing matters if you keep your life straight and decent.
There are so many varying opinions as to what is straight and decent.
God admits of no varying opinions.
Your religion must be wonderfully comforting. It makes you so sure of yourself.
You mustn't jeer at religion, old girl.
I don't jeer at religion, but I jeer at hypocrisy.
I'm not a hypocrite. That's what you mean.
I'm afraid you are, Marion. And a disloyal one, too, which makes it all the more nauseating.
How dare you speak to me like that? How dare you...
Hello, Loretta. I wondered if you were still here.
Excuse me, Philip. I have to be somewhere else.
You must be exhausted, Philip. You've been at it steadily all afternoon.
John and Sarah are playing a single now. And Hilda's scoring. What's up with Marion?
We've been arguing about the dinner guests. It's all very difficult.
I wish I was dining here.
But you're coming directly afterwards, aren't you?
Rather, about 10 of us.
Good heavens.
Will you keep a dance for me?
Certainly.
What number?
I don't know.
Three?
Perhaps you won't be here in time.
Say five, then, and six.
Not too running. We should be bored stiff with each other.
Five and seven, then?
All right.
You won't forget?
Of course not.
I'm sure you dance wonderfully.
Why?
Because of the way you move.
Oh, thank you very much.
May I sit next to you?
Certainly, if you like.
I'm afraid I'm awfully hot and sticky.
I don't mind, as long as you keep to your end of the sofa.
Don't laugh at me.
I'm sorry, but you are rather funny.
Everyone says that.
Never mind. Be frank. Speak straight from the shoulder, old boy.
I beg your pardon?
It's all right. I was only quoting.
Oh, I see.
You must forgive me if I'm a little distrait. I've had rather a trying afternoon.
Everyone fussing round, I suppose, over the dance. Life's too short to worry over things.
It is miserably short, isn't it?
Rather.
I sometimes wonder why we're here at all. It seems such a waste of time.
You're laughing again.
Not altogether.
No one ever thought John would ever marry anyone like you.
Do you know? That remark positively made me jump.
You're so different and so alive. Oh, he's a lucky devil.
You must be careful with your compliments. If you go peppering them about like that, they'll lose value.
They're not compliments. They're true.
Do you always go on like this?
Of course not. I wouldn't dare.
Good. I must leave you now. I've been trying to get to my room for the last hour.
Please don't go yet.
I must, really. Do let go of my hand, Philip. Oh!
Hello, Hilda. Have they finished the set?
I wondered where you were. I might have known you were with her.
Hilda.
I hope I'm not intruding.
Oh, this is too much.
Yes, it is.
If you adopt that rather rude tone to me, Hilda, I'm afraid I shall have to poach on Marion's preserves and have a straight talk to you.
Look here, Hilda.
Don't speak to me.
Will you have tea in here, Miss Hilda? The dining room's all laid up for dinner tonight.
Oh, I suppose so, Ferber.
Has anyone seen my little blue notebook? I can't think where I left it.
Is this the one, ma'am?
Oh, yes, thank you, Ferber. Oh, Sarah. John, you're just in time for tea.
Oh, no, Mrs. Whittaker. Philip and I must really go now.
Oh, very well.
We'll all see you later.
Be in good time tonight.
I don't intend to miss one dance. Come along, Philip.
Goodbye, Mrs. Whittaker. And thanks awfully.
Until tonight.
Rather. I say, Loretta, don't forget, five and seven.
I won't.
Come on, Philip.
Shall I pour the tea, ma'am?
No, Father. I will.
I'm going to have a bath. Don't want any tea.
Oh, John, just one cup.
No, add gallons of lemonade. Come on, pop your tea, Loretta.
All right, dear.
You don't like my opinions, Marion. You shouldn't ask for them.
I'm not used to having that sort of thing said to me. Marion, please. That will be all, Ferber.
Yes, ma'am.
Father's impossible. I do wish you control your temper in front of the servants, Marion.
Other people besides Marion ought to control themselves.
What do you mean, Hilda?
Ask Loretta. She knows what I mean.
Come and sit down, all of you, and have your tea.
Disgusting, I call it.
What's disgusting?
Ask Loretta.
Hadn't you better explain yourself, Hilda, instead of referring everyone to me?
I pity John, that's all.
Have you gone mad, Hilda?
What on earth's the matter?
I came in suddenly and found Loretta canoodling with Philip.
Don't use such expressions, Hilda. I'm surprised at you. Come and sit down, Loretta.
I think I'll go to my room, if you don't mind.
She's frightened because she knows I've found her out.
Stop, Hilda. I forbid you to say another word.
I won't stop. I know something that none of you know. Only I wasn't going to say anything about it until after the dance. Look at this. I got it from Sir George when I went there on Friday. He keeps all the back numbers at the Times in files. I cut it out when he went into the garden. Read it, Mother.
I should like some bread and butter, please.
Here you are, my dear.
Oh, thank you.
Oh. Here, Marion. Read it.
And I'm glad I did. Glad.
Do you want any jam with that, Loretta?
Oh, no, thanks. I always drop it all over myself.
It's no use pretending to be so calm. You know the game's up now, don't you?
Especially strawberry, the runny kind.
Hilda, be quiet. Oh, dear, my head. We'd better have this out and face it, hadn't we?
By all means. What's happened?
I suppose you don't deny that's a picture of you.
Oh, I've always hated that photograph.
You had better read it, Father.
Certainly not. Haven't the faintest desire to see it.
Please do. I ought to have told you before, really, but it didn't seem necessary.
Really, I'd rather not.
Please. It's necessary now.
All right, my dear. Well, what of it?
Oh, Father!
That was unkind. Hilda went to such a lot of trouble to get it.
This is appalling.
Why?
Loretta's past is no affair of ours.
You seem to forget she's married to our son. Our son!
Mother, don't give way.
I must apologise for this unpleasant scene, Loretta.
It had to occur sooner or later.
Well, I hope you're satisfied now.
I'm not at all satisfied. I think, with the exception of the Colonel, you're all behaving ridiculously.
It's easy to adopt a light tone when you've brought degradation on us.
Don't be a fool, Marion.
I'm not surprised at your attitude, Father. Loretta's your sort, isn't she?
That's one of the nicest things that's ever been said to me.
Don't talk like that, Marion. It's useless.
The question is, what's to be done? Does John know about this?
Mind your own business.
Loretta, will you oblige me by going to your room, please? We will discuss this later.
Certainly not. I haven't finished my tea.
Doubtless you imagine that you are carrying off this abominable situation with a high hand. But your callousness only goes to prove that your senses must be blunted to all decent feelings.
Nothing I have ever done warrants you speaking like that.
You have married my son.
I married John because I loved him.
Under false pretenses.
There were no false pretenses.
Do you think he'd have married you if he'd known?
I expect so.
Then why didn't you tell him?
Because I didn't consider it necessary. We took one another on trust. What happened before I met him concerns no one but myself. I've never let John down in any way. I love him.
You married John because you wished to break away from your disgraceful life and gain a position to which you were not entitled.
It's natural that you should think that, but it's not true.
Loretta, please go upstairs and let me deal with this.
No. Honestly, I'd rather stay. I understand Mrs. Whittaker's attitude perfectly, and I sympathise with it. It's horrible for her. But I don't want her to labour under any misapprehension.
In the face of everything, I'm afraid there's very little room for misapprehension.
Your life is built up on misapprehensions, Marion. You don't understand or know anything. You blunder about like a lost sheep.
Abuse won't help you.
That's not abuse. It's frankness.
This is beside the point.
Not altogether. It's an attitude of mine which you all share.
Instead of jumping to the worst conclusions at once, wouldn't it be better to give Loretta a little time to explain? We may be doing her an injustice.
That's kind of you. I haven't the faintest intention of making excuses or trying to conceal anything. The newspaper cutting was perfectly accurate, as far as it went. I was concerned with that peculiarly unpleasant case. I changed my name afterwards for obvious reasons. The papers rather overreached themselves in publishing the number of my lovers. Only two of the list really loved me.
You were responsible for a man killing himself.
Certainly not. It was his weakness and cowardice that were responsible for that. Not I.
It's incredible. Dreadful. I can hardly believe it.
I felt like that at the time, but it's a long while ago.
15 years? John was a child.
Thank you. I quite realise that.
And how have you lived since this scandal?
Extremely well.
Your flippancy is unpardonable.
So is your question. I've only explained so far because as John's mother, I felt I owed it to you. But if you persist in this censorious attitude, I shall say no more.
Do you realise what you've done?
Perfectly. And I regret nothing. The only thing that counts in this instance is my relationship with John. Nothing that has occurred in the past affects that in the least.
Your marrying him was an outrage.
Why? I've told you before. I love him.
You prove your love by soiling his name irreparably.
Oh, nonsense.
Do you think it's quite fair, Mabel, to set ourselves up in judgment of Loretta? We know none of the circumstances which led to these bygone incidents.
You failed me too often before, Jim, so I'm not surprised that you fail me now.
The Colonel is not failing you. It's just as bad for him as it is for you. You don't suppose he likes the idea of his only son being tied up to me after these revelations. But somehow or other, in the face of overwhelming opposition, he's managed to arrive at a truer sense of values than you could any of you ever understand. He's not allowed himself to be cluttered up with hypocritical moral codes and false sentiments. He sees things as they are and he's tried to make the best of them. He's tried to make the best of me ever since I've been here.
That hasn't astonished us in the least.
No doubt. With your pure and unsullied conception of human nature, you can only find one meaning for the Colonel's kindness to me.
I didn't say that.
Oh, but you think it, though, don't you? Only this afternoon you asked me not to encourage him. You disguised your unpleasant, lascivious curiosity under a cloak of hearty friendship. You are pumping me to discover some confirmation of your pretty suspicions. One thing my life has taught me, and that is the knowledge of feminine psychology. I've met your type before.
How dare you? How dare you?
This is insupportable.
Yes, it is. I want you to understand one thing. I deny nothing. I have a perfect right to say what I like and live how I choose.
Whether I've married John or whether I haven't, my life is my own, and I don't intend to be browbeaten.
I hope God will forgive you.
Don't you rather overrate the Almighty's interest in the situation?
In the face of your brazen attitude, there's nothing more to be said.
You're wrong. There's a good deal more to be said. According to you, I ensnared John in my toils in order to break away from my old life and better my position. If that were the case, what do you mean by deliberately trying to crush down my efforts to reform myself? How do you reconcile that with your stereotype views of virtue and charity? But you needn't worry. I didn't marry John to reform myself. I don't consider my position in this house a step up, socially or spiritually. On the contrary, it's been probably the most demoralizing experience that's ever happened to me.
You're a wicked, wicked woman.
That remark was utterly fatuous and completely mechanical. You didn't even think before you said it. Your brain is so muddled up with false values that you're incapable of grasping anything in the least real. Why am I a wicked woman?
You betrayed my son's honor by taking advantage of his youth and mad infatuation for you. He'd never have married you if he'd known.
I suppose he wouldn't consider it betraying his honor if he'd had an affair with me and not married me.
It would certainly have been much more appropriate.
Unfortunately, I don't consider John worthy of me in either capacity. I realized a long time ago that our marriage was a mistake. But not from your point of view. From my own.
It's easy to talk like that now.
It isn't easy. It's heartbreaking. I love John more than I can ever say. But it's not blind love, unfortunately. I can see through him. He's charming and weak and inadequate, and he's brought me down to the dust.
How dare you say such vile things? How dare you?
It's true. You can't appreciate my feelings about it. I don't expect you to. Why do you make that peculiar noise, Marion? Does it indicate approval, contempt, or miliasma?
Do you think this is the moment to be facetious?
You're an unbelievable prig.
I hope you don't imagine that your insults could ever have any effect on me.
If only you knew it. I'm at your mercy completely. But you're too silly to take advantage of it. You choose the wrong tactics.
Oh, we're certainly not experienced in dealing with women of your sort, if that's what you mean.
It is what I mean. Entirely. I'm completely outside the bounds of your understanding in every way. And yet I know you, Marion. Through and through. Far better than you know yourself. You're a pitiful figure. You played physical purity too high and mental purity not high enough. And you'll be a miserable woman until the end of your days unless you readjust the balance.
You're revolting! Horrible!
You need love and affection terribly. You'd go to any lengths to obtain it except the right ones. All your ideals are confused and muddled. You don't know what to ask of life, and you'll die having never achieved anything but physical virtue. And God knows I pity you.
You're achieving nothing by all this.
How do you know?
Because you're a moral degenerate, lost to all sense of right and wrong.
I respect you for one thing, anyhow. You are sure of yourself.
I don't want your respect.
You're the only one here with the slightest grip. You've risen up like a phoenix from the ashes of your pride. It's quite excellent. And infinitely pathetic.
I don't wish to speak to you any more. Until tomorrow. I shall be very grateful if you will remain upstairs this evening. I will make suitable excuses for your absence.
You mean you're frightened that I should make a scene?
That is neither here nor there. I certainly don't desire an open scandal.
You've run for cover again. I was afraid you would.
This has been painful beyond belief.
You're right. It has.
I don't feel capable of bearing any more.
You propose to confine me to my room like a naughty child?
The simile is hardly appropriate, but I hope you will have the decency to remain in your room.
Loretta.
Please go away. I don't want anyone to speak to me for a little while. I must think. Think.
Very well.
Loretta. Loretta, forgive me. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it.
Don't be a little toad, Hilda. Try to have the courage of your convictions. I intend to.
Thank you.
been there.
You've seen old Freddy fall off the roof of the taxi.
I should have died. I know I should.
And you should have seen the way old Minky Taylor land into the commission air chair right outside the Piccadilly.
How lovely.
Jolly good tune, that.
Lovely.
The garden looks awfully pretty, doesn't it?
Yes, awfully pretty. Aren't you booked for this one, Hugh?
Supposed to be. Lucky chucker for you, Hilda.
No, I'm promised to Philip. Have you seen him anywhere?
No. Better find Lucy. Will you dance later?
What about 11?
Righto.
Well, there you are, Philip. This one's ours.
Is it?
Yes, 9. You said so this afternoon.
Where's Loretta?
She's upstairs with a bad head. She's not coming down at all.
I see. What a shame.
Yes, isn't it?
Oh, come on, Hilda.
Hello, Sarah. Hello, Charles. Have you seen Lucy?
No, sorry.
You must be hiding from me.
You want an ice or anything, Sarah?
Oh, no, thanks.
The dining room's far too small and hot to dance in. Why don't they have the band in here?
Oh, the floor's better in there.
No, I hadn't noticed it.
I'm worried, Charles, about Loretta.
Yes, I know.
I tried to slip up and see her when we arrived, but Marion stopped me. She said she'd asked particularly to be left alone.
I'm extremely disappointed. I wanted to see her too.
Something's happened. I'm sure of it.
What could have?
Oh, I don't know exactly, but I've got a feeling. I mean to see her somehow before we go.
John seems quite happy.
Mrs. Whittaker doesn't, though. And I haven't seen the Colonel.
They're a tiresome family.
Very.
Did John say anything?
Only that she's got a racking headache and was in bed.
You'd have been able to tell from his manner if anything was wrong.
He's either been cleverer than I thought him, or he just doesn't know.
She seemed all right when you were here this afternoon, didn't she?
More or less. I'm furious with John.
Why?
He's making her utterly wretched.
That was inevitable.
I don't see why.
She's all wrong here, right out of the picture.
But he should see. If she's unhappy here, he must take her away.
That wouldn't do any good, ultimately.
It was all a fiasco from the first. I knew that directly I saw her. But still, he ought to play up and stand by her.
I can't imagine anyone of her intelligence being silly enough to marry him.
She adores him.
Yes, but she might have known it would end badly.
It hasn't ended badly yet.
It will.
Charles, I wish he'd been a cheap, loud-voiced cat. Would have been funny then.
Would it?
Well, less difficult, anyhow. There would have been some excuse for John.
That's what's worrying you, isn't it?
Of course. I used to be awfully fond of him, but he's shrunk beyond all recognition, gone tiny.
An observant mind is painful sometimes, isn't it?
Damnably.
Would you like to marry me, sir?
Don't make me laugh, Charles. Just now.
I believe I mean it.
You're a darling, but you don't. The intoxicating atmosphere of this revelry has gone to your head.
Perhaps.
You're not in the least in love with me.
I've been paying pretty marked attention to you during the last 6 months. Surely that proves something.
It proves that you like being with me very much, and I like being with you.
Well, then.
Marriage would soon kill all that. Without the vital spark to keep it going.
Dear, 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 the way you modern girls talk. It's shocking, that's what it is.
Never mind, Charles, dear. You must move with the times.
I didn't know you thought so highly of the vital spark, anyhow.
Of course I do. It's a fundamental instinct in everybody. Being modern only means twisting things into different shapes.
The garden looks awfully pretty, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. Frightfully pretty.
All those coloured lights and everything so attractive.
Terribly sweet.
It's extraordinary how pretty a garden can look.
Oh, shut up.
Don't go quiet.
No, I bet you won't. Damn good tune, that, you.
Yes, I enjoyed it.
You lug me around like a Trojan.
Not at all.
You know some tricky steps. We'd do well on the stage.
Yes, we would, wouldn't we?
Be a good chap and get me a glass of something. I'm dry as a bone.
Claret cup?
Oh, yes, rather. That'll do. I'll wait here.
You really are awful. I don't believe a word of it.
It's true, I swear it.
Oh, Mrs. Phillips.
There you are.
Indeed I am. It's all going off most successfully, isn't it?
Yes, I think the young people seem to be enjoying themselves.
So fortunate that it kept fine.
I've been on absolute tenterhooks all day.
But what a pity your daughter-in-law is missing it all. What is wrong with her exactly?
A blinding headache. She has them, you know, quite often. I'm always trying to make her go to a specialist.
Oh, poor dear. It is a shame. Tonight of all nights.
But still, it's much better if you do feel ill to stay quite quiet.
Oh, much, much. Do tell her how sorry I am, won't you? And the Chinese lanterns look so pretty, don't they?
Mrs. Whittaker?
Ah, Sarah.
Do you think I could run up and see Loretta?
No, dear, really. She asked particularly to be left alone. You know what these headaches are.
Yes.
The only thing to do is just rest and keep quiet.
Poor darling.
She may have dropped off to sleep by the time you...
Oh, marvellous. Marvellous.
Is that her?
I've never seen anything like it.
She couldn't cram on any more jewels if she tried, could she?
Downright vulgar, I call it. But that ridiculous scarlet fan.
Oh, street weathers, aren't they?
Well, well, your daughter-in-law must be feeling better, Mrs. Whittaker.
Get out of my way, Marion, dear, or I shall tread on you.
Loretta. My dear Loretta, this is a surprise.
Why?
We thought you weren't coming down.
I've been dressing and doing my face. It always takes me hours.
We understand you had a bad headache.
Forgive me, but that's quite untrue. You didn't understand anything of the sort, Loretta. If you've been building up a few neat social lies on my account, it's very unwise of you. I don't live according to your social system.
You look perfectly lovely, Loretta, and I'm frightfully glad to see you.
I'm dying for something to eat. I didn't feel inclined for any dinner, and now I'm starving. Oh, get me a sandwich or something, Johnny. There's a darling.
What's the matter? I don't understand.
And some champagne.
Champagne? Yeah. Well, there's claret cup.
Plain water will do.
Right.
How divine the garden looks. Oh, hello, Charles Burney. I hoped you were coming. I haven't seen you for ages. And good evening, Mrs. Phillips.
I was just sending you messages of sympathy. I understood you were prostrate and in pain.
So I was. My maid has been massaging me. Perfect agony.
Well, anyhow, I'm sure I'm glad you're better now and changed your mind about coming down.
Why do you persist in this ridiculous fallacy of my being ill? This afternoon you had the impertinence to command me to remain in my room. That was quite unpardonable, and you must take the consequences. I have nothing more to say to you.
Here you are.
Oh, thank you, Johnny.
Marion, I'm sure the band ought to be given something to eat and drink. They've been playing for such a long time.
Righto, Mother. I really ought to be off, but I don't think I can tear myself away yet.
No, please stay. It's so early.
How is your servant girl, Rose Jenkins, progressing in London, Mrs. Phillips? You seemed so worried about her when you came to tea last week.
Oh, I really don't know. I'm afraid she's a hopelessly bad character. Well, you heard your mother-in-law on the subject.
I'm sure she'll get on in the profession you've both sent her to.
I sent her to no profession.
How stupid of me. I thought you had. The oldest profession.
Well, really.
Larry, why are you dressed up like this?
I just felt like it, Johnny. I'm wearing all the jewellery I've got in the world. It's a heavenly sensation.
It looks ridiculous.
Don't be an ass, John.
No, but it does, honestly. I mean, the tiara and... What's that thing on your ankle?
Run away and dance if you can't be pleasant to me.
Look here, Larry.
Perhaps you don't realise that I'm being serious.
All right. If you're going on like that.
Are you all right? John's lost his grip of things terribly lately, hasn't he? Loretta, dear, what's happened? Lots and lots and lots of things. Are you upset? You don't suppose I should do this ordinarily, do you? Tell me. Not yet, Sarah. Later on.
I am glad you're all right.
Thank you, Philip.
You've cut both dances you promised me by coming down so late.
I'm so sorry. Let's have this one.
Rather.
We'll talk later, Sarah.
Next dance, please, Loretta.
All right, Charles.
You must say she's magnificent.
She's wretched.
I've never seen such an entrance in my life.
Poor Mrs. Whittaker.
Server, right.
I wonder what Loretta's object is in all this.
Swan song.
Charles, what do you mean?
Wait and see.
Come and dance, then.
I feel pleasantly thrilled by all this.
Well, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
She's gone in white.
Yes, quite a dance, isn't she?
Those pearls are incredible. And I want to get a closer look at her earrings.
Marion! Marion, come over here. This is outrageous. How dare she?
Nothing can be done.
I'm so ashamed.
If I can get her alone, I'll give her a piece of my mind.
No, no, ignore her. Don't say a word. We don't want a repetition of this afternoon.
We shall never hear the last of it. Did you see Mrs. Phillips' face?
Oh, I'm sure I don't know what I've done to be so humiliated.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Mother, Loretta's come down. She's dancing.
Yes, yes, we know.
I've been telling everybody she was ill.
Don't speak so loudly, Hilda.
She looks a sight. What are we to do?
Nothing. Ignore her completely. Behave as if she wasn't there at all. And don't discuss her with anybody.
But everybody's talking about her.
I don't wonder.
It's too awful.
The sit-down supper's ready in the tent now, ma'am.
Well, tell everybody, Ferber. You'd better stop the band.
No, there won't be room in the tent for everyone all at once. I'll just tell some of them.
Yes, do.
I'll come too.
And remember, Hilda, don't be aware of anything unusual at all.
All right.
Mother, fearfully sorry about all this.
Oh, don't, John, don't.
But I don't understand. It's so unlike Loretta to make an exhibition of herself like this.
Unlike her?
Something's happened. What is it?
Don't worry me now, John. Can't you see? I'm at my wit's end.
Don't look so gloomy, John.
Something's happened to Loretta. What is it?
She's been dancing with Philip Borden.
Why does she pretend to have a headache and not come down to dinner or anything?
She didn't feel like it, I suppose.
I'm going to go and find out what's wrong.
No, you're not. You're going to give me some supper. Come along, or there won't be any room.
But Sarah.
Come along.
Did you see Guy Henderson?
I think she looks jolly attractive.
Bet you a fiver you don't ask her to dance when the band comes back.
Dance?
I couldn't leave another thing at the moment.
If I'd have known supper was so close, I should never have had that sandwich.
Can I get you anything to drink?
No, thanks. Nothing. Go and have supper with poor little Hilda and we'll dance again afterwards.
But, I say...
Please. I want to rest for a minute.
Oh, very well.
Come and talk to me, Charles.
I've been wanting to do that.
How sweet of you. Where's Sarah?
With John, having supper.
Oh. Cigarette.
Thanks.
Such a good floor, don't you think?
Perfectly awful.
I wonder if your attention has been called to those perfectly fascinating Japanese lanterns.
Several times.
You must admit, it's a fine night anyhow.
How you've changed.
Changed?
Yes. Meeting you just now and then, as I've done, makes it easier to observe subtle differences.
In what way have I changed?
You're dimmer.
Dimmer? With all these diamonds and pearls?
Yes, even with those.
You wouldn't have thought me dim if you'd have seen me this afternoon.
Why, what happened?
Several things.
I don't want you to think I'm angling for your confidence, but I am interested.
I know that. It's interesting enough. Do you remember saying, the first day I met you, that one was disillusioned over everything?
You've been disillusioned lately.
Yes. I didn't know I was capable of it.
That's one of the greatest illusions of all.
You've been awfully nice to me.
Why not? We speak the same language.
Yes, I suppose we do.
Naturally, one felt instinctively drawn, particularly in this atmosphere.
English country life.
Yes, English country life.
I wonder if it's a handicap having our sorts of minds.
In what way?
Watching ourselves go by.
No, it's a comfort in the end.
I'm face to face with myself all the time, especially when I'm unhappy. It's not an edifying sensation.
I'm sorry you're unhappy.
It can't be helped. You can't cope adequately with your successes unless you realise your failures.
It requires courage to do either.
I've always had a definite ideal.
What is it?
One should be top dog in one's own particular sphere.
It's so difficult to find out what is one's own particular sphere.
I'm afraid that's always been depressingly obvious to me.
You feel you've deviated from your course?
Exactly.
and it's demoralized me.
Why did you do it?
Panic, I believe.
What sort of panic?
A panic of restlessness and dissatisfaction with everything.
That's a black cloud which descends upon everyone at moments.
Not everyone. Just people like us.
When you live emotionally, you must expect a pendulum to swing both ways.
It had swung the wrong way with a vengeance when I met John. Marrying him was the most cowardly thing I ever did.
Why did you?
I loved him quite differently. I thought that any other relationship would be cheapening and squalid. I can't imagine how I could have been such a fool.
Neither can I.
Love will always be the most dominant and absorbing subject in the world because it's so utterly inexplicable. Experience can teach you how to handle it superficially, but not to explain it. I can look round with a nice, clear brain and see absolutely no reason why I should love John. He falls short of every ideal I've ever had. He's not particularly talented or clever. He doesn't know anything, really. He can't talk about any of the things I consider worthwhile to talk about. And having been to a good school, he's barely educated.
Just a healthy young animal.
Yes.
Perhaps that explains it.
If my love were entirely physical, it would. But it isn't physical at all.
That is a bad sign.
The worst.
What do you intend to do?
I haven't decided yet.
I think I know.
Don't say that.
Very well. I'll tell you afterwards if I guessed right.
Go and send Sarah to me. Alone, will you?
All right.
We shall meet again, perhaps. Someday.
I was right.
Shh.
Say, can I book you for the next dance? When the band comes back?
No, thank you. I'm rather tired.
That's a jolly good band.
Do you know? I don't believe I've ever met you before.
But as a matter of fact, we haven't been introduced, officially. My name's Hugh Petworth.
Really? And how much would you have won from your little friend over there if I'd agreed to dance with you?
Well, I say, would you...
You're far too young and nice-looking to be so impertinent. If I were you, I should run away and recover yourself.
Yes, I'm awfully sorry.
Don't apologise. It's quite all right. Off you go.
Oh, sorry, I beg your pardon, Sarah. I didn't see you coming.
Not at all. Hello, Loretta. I want to talk to you, Sarah. Importantly. There isn't much time.
Why? What do you mean?
I'm going away tonight. For good.
Oh, my dear. What on earth's the matter?
Everything. There was a dreary family row this afternoon.
What about?
Hilda had unearthed a newspaper cutting disclosing several of my past misdemeanors.
Oh, the unutterable little beast! I made her swear!
You knew about it?
Yes. She showed it to me 3 days ago.
Oh, Sarah.
I said I'd never speak to her again if she showed it to anybody, and I shan't.
It was all very unpleasant. The Colonel stood by me, of course. John wasn't there. He doesn't know anything yet.
But you mustn't give in like this and chuck up everything.
I must. You see, they're right. It's perfectly horrible for them. I'm entirely to blame.
But what does it matter? The past finished with.
Never. Never, never, never. That's a hopeless fallacy.
I'm most frightfully sorry.
I wouldn't give in at all, unless I was sure. You see, John's completely sick of me. It was just silly calf love, and I ought to have recognised it as such. But I was utterly carried away, and now it's all such an appalling mess.
John's behaved abominably.
No, not really. I expected too much. When you love anybody, you build in your mind an ideal of them. And it's naturally terribly hard for them to play out, not knowing...
Don't do anything on the impulse of the moment.
It isn't the impulse of the moment. I realised it weeks ago.
It may all come right yet.
Be honest, Sarah. How can it?
Where are you going?
London tonight and Paris tomorrow. I've ordered a car. Louise is packing now.
I wish I could do something.
You can.
What?
Look after John for me.
Don't, Loretta, please don't.
I mean
don't.
It. You're fond of him. You ought to have married him by rights. He needs you so much more than me. He's frightfully weak and a complete damn fool over most things.
But he has got qualities somewhere worth bringing out. I'm going to arrange for him to divorce me, quietly, without any fuss.
I don't love him nearly as well as you do.
All the better. Women of my type are so tiresome in love. We hammer at it, tooth and nail, until it's all bent and misshapen. Promise me you'll do what I ask.
I can't promise. But if circumstances make it possible, I'll try.
All right. That'll do.
Shall I see you again, ever?
Oh, yes, please.
Well, we won't say goodbye, then.
It's such a silly thing to say.
Good luck, anyhow.
I'm not sure that's not sillier.
Sarah, yeah, I've been looking for you everywhere.
Well, you found me now.
Larry, sorry I was busy too just now. You are rather a Christmas tree, though, aren't you?
It was done with a purpose.
What purpose?
It was a sort of effort to re-establish myself. A flamboyant gesture. Almost a joke.
Oh.
You'll find me in the garden, John.
Don't go, Sarah. Please.
All right.
I'm rather tired. So I'll say goodnight.
Well, dance will be on for hours, yeah, but this is really just a lull.
Yes, I know. But I'm dead.
Oh. Very well.
Good night, darling. Good night.
I'll try not to disturb you when I come up.
I'm afraid you won't be able to help it.
Come and dance, John.
What's the matter, Larry? Why are you looking like that?
I think I'm going to sneeze.
Are you coming?
All right.
Oh, go on, darling, catch me if you can.
Oh, my bag, thank you. You are a beast. Oh, Father, is the car ready yet?
Yes, ma'am. Your maid is waiting in it.
Thank you very much, Father. And goodbye.
Goodbye, madam.
In Easy Virtue, Mrs. Whittaker was played by Anna Massey, Marion by Victoria Hamilton, Colonel Whittaker, Michael Elwin, and Hilda by Elizabeth Dermot Walsh. Ferber was played by Jimmy Gardner, John, Julian Ryan Tutt, and Larita by Leah Williams. Sarah Hurst was played by Geraldine Alexander, Charles Burley, Anton Lesser, Philip, Rupert Penry-Jones, Hugh, Jack Davenport, and The Girl at the Party by Ruth Sillars. Mrs. Phillips was played by Mary Wimbush. Easy Virtue was written by Noel Coward, directed by Mariah Aitken, and is an independent production by Catherine Bailey Limited for BBC Radio 3.